Bonjour, my name is Valley, like a valley but spelt a little differently. I am currently broadcasting from the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. You are listening to La Bonne Heure with myself, Valley, here on CITR 101.9 FM. And today I have a very fun guest in the studio with me. Hello.
Hello, hello.
This is Calcutta Cowboy.
Very nice to be here.
Very nice to have you here. Some of you around town may know this name. You've been doing quite a few shows.
Yeah.
And you are, you know, a rising star in the Vancouver scene, and especially in the Vancouver country scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to chat with you about all of that.
Yeah.
I wanted to start off with a couple, let's call them like easy breezy questions.
Sure.
Before we get into like music creation and mm-hmm. like creative process. My first one was, you have a song about the Expo line.
Yeah.
if you had to write a song about any other, you know, SkyTrain line,
yeah.
which one would you sing about?
The VCC Clark, because I hate it.
So it would be like a hate song.
Oh yeah, 100%. I like Candleline just does not bother me in any capacity.
Okay,
but
okay.
I was stuck on the VCC Clark for like 3 hours, and it was and it's a smaller train carriage, which was unexpected as well. So the first time, okay, to be fair, it was my fault. But the first time, I just thought the train would come farther up the platform, and I was like watching reels. So I look up and the train's smaller, like run over, and it's just gone. And I'm like, this sucks. But yeah, no, VCC Clark ain't my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a valid reason, though. I feel like getting trapped somewhere for long.
Port Moody, too, because I was like all the way at the end, and then,
that's
yeah,
tough.
Anyways.
I'm glad you made it out.
Yeah, I know, me
survived.
Too. It was a whole day, because I was also showing my producers the like band music.
Uh-huh.
So I was like on this I just thought I was going to be late the
yeah.
whole time. We made it, and it went horribly, but it was still just like, it's fine.
I blame the train.
Yeah, exactly. I blame the train.
I blame the train.
There's a song right there.
There's a song right there. I blame the train. Oh, my goodness. You heard it here first, guys. New song by Calcutta Cowboy, I Blame the Train. Honestly, that's a good...
It's not bad.
And it's country.
Yeah, exactly.
I Blame the Train. You know?
See? You got it.
Oh, I got it. Speaking of country,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to get us a little more countrified.
Right.
Okay? So I brought a couple props with me.
Oh, stunning.
I will say, I tried this last week. I had Spank Williams in the studio
Let's
with me.
Go. Max
Let's go.
Is awesome.
And unfortunately, we have different head sizes,
so
it didn't work as well. However, we're going to try it again.
Yeah, okay? I'm down.
And I have a backup.
Oh, sweet.
If not.
You're well prepped.
I try to be. Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Take your pick.
I'll take the brown one.
This
should work very well.
Oh, it fits perfect.
Yeah, I got a small head.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Perfect. Oh.
I never felt so pretty before.
Aw. Me neither. I got this. I got that hat at a thrift store in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you, whoever donated that.
That's sick.
And then I got this one. I was in Dallas in Texas for
nice.
A 6-hour long layover.
Oh, man.
My uncle lives there.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, the only thing that I want from these 6 hours is
a cowboy hat. Yeah.
And he was like, okay, we'll try to make it happen. I was like, no, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
This is all I want. And so this poor man spent 4 hours in traffic during my 6-hour layover
That's
trying
wholesome.
To get me to one of the only like cowboy stores
in
like that area of Dallas.
Yeah.
Shout out.
You'd think there'd be more.
You would think there'd be more. That's what I thought. I thought we were going to step out of the airport
and
it'd
be
like, oh, yeah, there you go.
It's
like,
going to be like, instead of
done.
Maple syrup, it's cowboy hats.
Literally.
You know, a funny story. So the cowboy hat I did wear at the last show is from Max.
Oh, really?
So
oh,
I was at his, I was at his house and I was just like, man, I really need to find a cowboy hat. And he just like went to his wall, picked one. He was like, does this fit? And I was like, yeah. So that was cute.
That is wholesome.
Yeah.
Is it yours now?
Yeah. That's what he says.
Aww.
I'm not giving it back.
He's like, oh, okay, like, thanks. You know, I'm glad I lent this to you.
I do also assume it's mine because he's dipping to Montreal this week. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's yours.
Yeah, yeah.
It's yours. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. Okay, next question.
Mm-hmm.
Calcutta Cowboy.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the sound of it.
Hell yeah.
If you had to be from anywhere else and try to combine it with another music genre, what would you try to do?
Like, if I had to combine Calcutta with something else?
Or, like, even if you had to pretend that you're from, like, let me think. Germany grime, you know? Like... that would be me.
Yeah, fair enough. Man, I don't know. I feel like Bangalore blues.
Ooh,
that would be cool.
I like that. Okay.
Bangalore already has, like, South India has a huge, like, rock and rock scene. They're all, like, more musically inclined that way anyways. So maybe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bangalore blues is good.
I like that. I'm sure there's, like, a club out there called Bangalore blues or something like that.
I want Bangalore blues and Calcutta cowboy to, like,
yeah, have a call.
You should make both and then just, like, pretend that you're different people.
It's just, this is my way of telling the world I have multiple personalities.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've seen, you know, Stromae, the guy who did Alors on danse.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
He has a song, Tous les mêmes, which is, like, about how, like, men are all the same, and, like, it's this, like, argument between this couple. And in the music video, he has, like, a man makeup, like, face
on
painted
side.
On one side, and then the woman on the other side.
Oh, that's very cool.
You could do that.
Yeah, you're
do,
right,
like,
actually.
Blues and cowboy.
That's a good idea right there. We have no, like, major visuals out yet, so boom.
You can cut Spank Williams' like, cowboy hat in half and just have it on the one side.
Yeah, straight up.
Thanks for the present. Anyway, that's what I did with it.
I'm sure he'd be happy with it. It was used for art, you know?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I thought during the show today, you could maybe give us some insight into the inspirations and the loves of Calcutta Cowboy by suggesting some music for us to play on the show.
Oh, very cool.
So if you have any... maybe music that has inspired you directly or your songs directly, or even just music you've been listening to lately, feel free to suggest them. Would you want to start us off with anything?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give an oldie, a Rhinestone Cowboy by Glen Campbell.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay. Yeah. Let's just wait for this thing to wake up. My laptop, she's old. You know, that's she's trying. Okay, Rhinestone Eyes by Gorillaz?
No. I've never heard that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's one of my go-tos. Okay, Rhinestone Cowboy by Glen Campbell. Not yet. Technical difficulties, but it's just me forgetting to do stuff. here it is, and enjoy.
Of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me like a rhinestone cowboy. Take walking the long way. And I dream of the things I'll do with a subway token and a dollar tucked inside my shoe. There'll be a load of compromising on the road to my horizon, but I'm gonna be where the lights are shining on me. Like a rhinestone cowboy riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Rhinestone cowboy getting cards and letters from people I don't even know, and offers coming over the phone.
Rhinestone Cowboy by Glen Campbell. Why that song?
It's because of my dad.
Aww.
I feel like when I was growing up, I wasn't super aware of how to discover new music.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would just be my dad's catalogs that he would be playing endlessly. And that's really informed the way I make music now, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Love that. Love that. Calcutta Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come to be? How did you come up with the name for your project?
With immense struggle. so I had like a decent amount of the songs done by around like February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, I want to play a show, but I need a name. And Tim, who runs Kingfisher Blues, we were hanging out. We're like good buds at this point. And I showed him one of the newer songs, and he was just like, man, when are you playing a show? Do you have a name? And I was like, no, I've been struggling about this. For a long time, it was going to be King Pal, which was just so bad. I know. It's physical cringe. But he listened to this one song, and he was just like, why don't you just call yourself Mumbai Cowboy? And I was like, I'll do you one better. And then Calcutta Cowboy kind of came to be.
Shout out Tim.
Yeah, straight up. Without him, it would have been, and he's always good at this kind of stuff, to be honest. I don't know why I didn't ask him sooner, but and it kind of like became a better name with time.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, one, it rolls off the tongue really well.
It does.
And two, I feel like it's quite emblematic of who I am. Like, first 10 years of my life, I grew up in India.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Kolkata.
Yeah.
And then after that, I moved to Malaysia, but went to a British international school, and then came here. So there's this weird conflict of not quite being Indian enough, not quite being Western enough. And Calcutta kind of summarizes that really well, for me at least. So, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. How do you think that moving around and, like you said, like not necessarily being all from somewhere or from the other place has shaped your music?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a character. He's a sad guy. And there's like a, there's an element of not quite being present in what I'm singing about. And I think that's probably where that comes from, where like I have this bad habit of like being able to call whatever temporary location I'm going back to home. Just because that's what it is. I'm just going back to home at this point. And my mom would always be like, that's not home. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you know, I've moved around like probably like 16 times over the course of my life. And it's just like the new spot. And so, yeah, Calcutta Cowboy also has this like placelessness that he's talking about pretty frequently. But at the same time, like, it's given me this opportunity to like look at new things and not necessarily feel too attached to the old, and be able to explore and check things out. And that's probably where like I don't know any other Indian cowboys. And, you know, yeah, so country as a genre overall feels like that delving into, mm-hmm. I'm willing to bridge a gap that other people might not necessarily feel comfortable with, but I like existing in those little in-between mm-hmm. spaces. Mm-hmm. I don't have a choice, but yeah.
I know exactly what you mean with the home thing.
Yeah.
I feel like everywhere I go, I'm like, oh, I'm going back home. Yeah. And people are like, you've lived there for like 2 months. Yeah. Like, chill out. I'm like, no, but you don't understand.
Yeah.
Like,
it just, it that's what I have to call it. Otherwise, my brain will just be like,
I'm going back. Oh, that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, haha. No, I know what you mean. So when you're writing your songs, do you put yourself in the mindset of this cowboy and mm-hmm. this character, or do you blend a little bit of, you know, your own feelings, your own goals in the song mm-hmm. with his, or do you kind of use yours and then put it in his mind frame? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's kind of he's kind of a conversation with the parts of myself I don't want to talk to.
Okay.
And so, but like those things need to be said somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like some of the songs, like all of my songs are depressing songs hidden with happy, bouncy
mm-hmm,
moments.
Mm-hmm.
so it's a very intentional choice to like the way the song is structured to reflect who I am, Arkin, but the lyrics very much are like, there are harsher things that I say about myself in the lyrics mm-hmm. that I would attribute just to the character.
Yeah.
Versus like the starting point of each song definitely comes from a very personal place mm-hmm. of like, I need to talk about something. I'm not sure how to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I very much approach it from a what if angle.
Okay.
Like I've been in a relationship for a really long time. Uh-huh. When you're a starting musician, it's very easy to just think about writing love songs. But mm-hmm. when you're in a happy relationship, mm-hmm. trying to write sad love songs doesn't really make sense. So that was kind of my first into like what mm-hmm. if and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling is also something I really want to do. And country as a genre allows for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gary Johnson, this one song where I have where I meet like a rant. If you've been in Vancouver downtown, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These random characters that'll appear, talk to you for 30 minutes, and then they vanish. Yeah, never see them again. And Calcutta Cowboy allows me to like embellish those stories a little bit more. So if I'm embellishing those stories, I'm also embellishing some of the personal moments.
Okay.
So yeah,
I love that though. Yeah. I love that you're able to combine your own vulnerability with mm-hmm. these really fun characters and these fun stories. And like you said, you know, having come to a couple of your shows now, mm-hmm. you...
Thanks for coming.
I'm really happy to be there. You know, you listen to this music and you're like, oh, la, 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 yee-haw, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of sit for a second and you're like, oh, well, mm-hmm. let me listen to the lyrics. And it's kind of like a, oh, you know... It's a lot deeper than what you expect or what you think it is, just mm-hmm. based on like the sound and the energy that you bring as well. So, and I'm a big fan of that. I love like interdimensional, you know. Like I think that's so cool, and I love having like I'm a big character
mm-hmm.
in music as well, so I love hearing different stories and everything.
Hell yeah.
You mentioned a singer, you mentioned a name. Do you want to play a song by, who was it you just mentioned? You mentioned storytelling. I can't remember.
Oh, I can't remember either.
Do you have a song that you want to play?
I do. Gold Rush by Taylor Swift.
Gold Rush.
I hope that's not too controversial.
Gold Rush. You're playing Taylor Swift on my show?
Yeah.
Get out. No, I was lucky. I played it. I was working a couple of her shows, and I was like, yeah, you know, I like used to be a fan, know. And then like during the show, like I had a couple of colleagues come up and be like, Valley, you're singing along to
every song.
Don't even lie to yourself.
I'm a huge Swiftie. Thanks to my girlfriend, but yeah.
Yeah, shout out Taylor. Okay, here it is, Gold Rush by Taylor Swift.
Ships are
face in a red flush. I don't like that anyone would die to feel your touch. Everybody wants you, everybody wonders what it would be like to love you. Walk past, quick rush. I don't like slow motion, double vision in a rose brush. I don't like the falling pins like crying to the bone crush. Everybody wants you, I'm like a gold rush. What must it be like to grow up that beautiful, with your hair falling into place like dominoes? My mind turns your life into folklore. I can't dare to dream about you anymore. Dinner parties might call you out on your controlling shit. In the coast of time you'll never find, you'll never see love as pure as it. Cause it fades into the gray of my day routine. Cause it will never be.
Right. So we've had a couple songs, one that was from kind of what your dad was playing, and then one that you said, you know, you've discovered Taylor Swift thanks to, you know, your girlfriend and everything. And I've, you know, having been to your shows now and having kind of a little bit of an outside perspective on, you know, you and the work that you do, it seems that community is something that really is present in your life and something that you use like in your music inspiration, but also, you know, you have a project that, you know, First Floor Collective, which is also, you know, music based in Vancouver and really working with the music community. So I wanted to know a little bit about your perspective on community collaboration, not only within like music inspirations, but also just music in Vancouver and music community in general.
Music in Vancouver, I'll probably speak on that first. I feel like a lot of the youth were around. I sound like a boomer.
Like,
I'm 25. But I just mean that... I don't know. I can tell like all the people who are in the music scene here who really want to be here. They're all really hungry. They've got a point to prove. They want to show their talent, and I think that's really important because I don't know. You can't really foster things without that without that drive. And it's really awesome to see that, like, you know, I came to university the same year as like Tiger Lily, Felicia and the Jazz Rejects, and all these other bands. And we've, you know, they've all gone on to do really cool things. You know, Tiger really just got done with their first tour, and it's awesome to see the lads doing their thing. And it's, I don't know, it's, I kind of akin it to, like, do you know Avatar The Last Airbender? So in the same, the animators, luckily somehow they had like a house that their parents had given them. And so they treated it as like an animation house that all their homies could come crash at because they knew how tough it could be, and it's easier to suffer together than it is to suffer alone. And I kind of feel that same sense with the music community here, that like it is an uncertain journey, one that when you go on a creative path, but sometimes it's a little less uncertain and a little easier when you're surrounded by like-minded folk. But then this is kind of speaking on music community in general. I think there's a balance to it, like if you get too lost in just community, that can be difficult too. Like with First Floor Collective, we love everything we've done, and we've kind of done a lot of different things over the course of the last 5 years. And now we're kind of in this phase of like really settling down into like a lot less things. Like Luke and I are really like rediscovering what we want our creativity to be for. And so it's like a push and pull. The times you're most uncertain, the times you feel the most alone as a creative, community is really, really good for you, and it's really important. And then you know, you also got to learn to, like, when you got to just look inwards, not necessarily stop hanging out with people, mm-hmm. but, like, recede, look inwards, do the work on yourself so that when you come back and rejoin, you've got something new to show and something exciting. So, yeah, it's community is just as important as you are, and you got to know how to balance those two things together.
Very well said.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was a great, you know, lots of great things in there. I think the first thing I want to kind of touch on is, you know, also the fact that, you know, this project, First Fall Collective, now you guys have gotten to the point where you can really, you know, pick and choose and focus on the things that you really want to pursue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. I also just wanted to say, I think that Vancouver music community, when I first moved to Vancouver, which I think would have been the year before you, mm-hmm. A big thing that I found was that the music community was quite cliquey, and I mm-hmm. thought that it was quite hard to get into. And I've noticed as it's been rebuilding itself, you know, after the quarantine and after, mm-hmm. you know, people getting back out there and being able to go to shows and really, like, there's a lot more openness, mm-hmm. and I find that people are a lot more welcoming. You know, Max and I were talking about this last week, where he was saying, yeah, I think that people nowadays recognize what you just said about, you know, better to struggle together than alone. Mm-hmm. And people are really bringing each other in and lifting each other up. And yeah. I'm a big fan of that. I always like that. I'm a big community. I love a community. How do you think the Vancouver music community has influenced your music?
Well, I didn't really think I'd ever do music, to be mm-hmm. completely honest. And so the easy answer is just to say that, like, I'm surrounded by musicians endlessly, and they have given me a certain strength that, like, hey, man, you could try it. You can do this. Because mm-hmm. with music more so than with film, I feel like it's a lot easier to just, like, experiment immediately, try something new immediately. With film, it's a lot of steps before you get to the end of your experimentation. And yeah, like, with, I've gotten to, like, learn a lot, just in all the different stages. Like, I have friends who are, like, right at the, you know, beginnings of writing their music versus established artists who are going on tour consistently. And so, like, being able to notice that range and being able to, like, see not where people fall, but, like, where people are in their specific journeys, it's humbling and exciting in a really powerful way. And I wouldn't have had that without these people. Mm-hmm. Like, most of my musician friends, their stories are very different from mine because they all started alone, had to prove it to themselves, and mm-hmm. then found people after. Versus on my end, I found people, and now I'm like, I'm not alone. I, like, know who to, like, show certain mm-hmm. things to understand feedback mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But the other thing that's also exciting, this is specifically to, like, the film side of everything. Mm-hmm. I'm very used to things taking a really long time for me. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I've been in music videos for so long, and fundamentally, like, yes, you're working on the video, but the video is not yours. Mm-hmm. It's for someone else's vision.
Yeah.
And so with music, it's kind of been this thing that I do get to make quickly and gets to be my own, mm-hmm. and my friends get to be excited about. So mm-hmm. when it comes to community, I do feel a part of me is like, hey, thanks for bringing me in. I kind of want to share something back. Hopefully we all have fun doing it together. And kind of speaking on the thing you said about, like, cliques and, like, things opening up more, there are less venues, accessible venues than ever before in Van. But conversely, post-pandemic, there are more bands in Vancouver mm-hmm. than ever before. And so I feel like it's a lose-lose situation if we don't come together in some capacity. Vancouver, maybe this is controversial, but whatever. Vancouver has many, probably dominated by an indie sound, but it does have a lot of pockets of different mm-hmm. music. And that's something that people don't realize. Mm-hmm. And the work is never done. And I think supporting those smaller groups is just as important as, like, finding your thing and sticking with it. And I'd like to see more of that happen for sure.
I don't think that's controversial at all. I completely agree. I think when I first moved to Vancouver, and this was still, you know, I was coming out of high school and I was playing a lot of music and, like, working on a lot of my own music. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to move to Vancouver. I'm going to, like, play a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. and then kind of moved here and was like, oh, everyone sounds, I don't want to say everyone sounds the same, but a lot of the bands sound very similar.
Yeah,
and like 100%. You said, it's a lot of that indie, like mm-hmm. garage band, like, you know, sound, not garage band, the game, but like, you know,
no,
a band
I get what
in
you're
the
saying.
Garage, you
know? I'd like to, I think it's just a Pacific Northwest thing.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. maybe. And then I've really loved seeing post-pandemic so many people that, like, you know, it was quite daunting. I was like, well, I don't want to be the person who's like, oh, mm-hmm. la, 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 here's
yeah,
a
yeah.
sad little ballad for
yeah,
you. And
yeah.
everyone's like, what is this?
yeah.
You know, like, play some, like, Peach Pit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've loved seeing so many, like you said, smaller bands and smaller projects and, you know, different genres emerging
mm-hmm.
post-pandemic. And something that was said at the last show you played at the Heatley,
mm-hmm.
A couple of us were chatting and were saying it's really since this reemergence, I'm going to call it the PC, the post-COVID, you know, music scene in Vancouver, country, has
mm-hmm.
really made a splash and
yeah.
has really risen up. And it's so interesting hearing it and seeing it, but I don't know where it's come from.
Yeah, that's fair. If you like go back to like, I make a joke with Luke all the time
uh-huh.
that I don't want my music to be just for our, like our age.
Yeah.
I want my dad's generation,
yeah.
my mom's generation, I want them to be able to listen to it and
mm-hmm.
also be like, I remember listening to something like this way
mm-hmm.
back when.
Those yeah.
songs, like, you know, those songs remain timeless in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's important for that to exist. But speaking on country, I don't know. That genre, when it first came out, was really about sticking it to the man. And, like,
yeah.
it is about struggle and sacrifice. And in the same way that the Western is a timeless genre,
mm-hmm.
and it's always about, like, it comes back down to the individual. And then in the last, like, I'd like to say 30 years, 40 years,
mm-hmm.
country's kind of just become, you know, trucks,
mm-hmm.
booze, cars,
yeah.
ladies. And it's disingenuous to where,
mm-hmm.
you know, the thing actually started. Like, you
I
talk
agree,
about
yeah.
artists like Johnny Paycheck, you know, this dude would actually go down to protests at like mines
mm-hmm.
and be stand with the people. That's
mm-hmm.
what it was for. Even Bob Dylan, to an extent, you know, like the songs that he was writing were for the people, by the
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a time when things are as uncertain as they are across all spheres of life,
mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised that this genre is finding
mm-hmm.
a way to make us feel like some sense of familiar and stable again.
Mm. Very, yeah, that's very insightful. I didn't think of it that way. I was like, oh, I like country, so
yeah.
no wonder it's coming back. You know,
yeah, yeah.
who doesn't like
but
it? You know?
There's
but
also like a market
true,
element to it. Like when I was in Toronto and I was talking with like the Warner folks, like they are like hardcore hunting down
mm-hmm.
country artists right now. Country resurgence is huge, and not just in Canada, but like obviously in America
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And you need, I think genres hop authenticity.
Yeah.
I think rap was the authentic genre for
yeah.
a really long time.
Yeah.
And it still will be for a while
mm-hmm.
yet. It's a very young, new genre. But country is rediscovering that authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing new characters, new faces in ways that, and saying things that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Like Spank Williams is a great example of it. You know, like my first Spank Williams show, we booked him. I'd never seen him live. And I was just like, I don't know. And then the aura emerges. He goes on stage and you're just like, holy, who is this guy?
yeah.
And like that, there's something very powerful to like when he oscillates from a happy song to a sad song. And all of a sudden you're like, it
right.
sits with you.
Mm,
and I'm struggling to think of genres lately that have been able to evoke nostalgia
mm-hmm.
and a path for and a way forward in quite the same way.
It's true. And I will say, going back on what you said about wanting different, you know, age groups and different demographics at your shows, going to the last Spank Williams show
mm-hmm.
At the Hollywood, it was so amazing to see what a range
yeah.
of people he attracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that were like, I'm assuming they were like 15, 16-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
and then there were people in their 50s and 60s,
yeah.
and I was like, wow, what a wonderful, and I love seeing that.
Yeah.
I'm also a huge fan of that, so I know exactly what you mean. Would you like to play a song?
Ooh, I'm gonna have to look through real quick.
Okay.
I'll be speedy.
You'll be speedy. I trust.
Could you play "Delete Ya" by Joe, DJ O?
DJ O, what was the song?
Delete Ya.
Delete Ya. Yes, I can. Here it is. Delete Ya. Morning by the
red eye, last minute flight. I get in early, I was roused by the light. Back in the city, no longer my home. Trying to let it go. I take a walk in Hollywood. My old apartment isn't looking too good. Then there's a lyric that in context stings. The immediate pain it brings. That song that you used to sing. And now I'm back on the couch. Frozen peas to my head. Driving up to you folks. Cramming into your bed. You put me in bedtime. Drove me back to your home. And there's a lady alone. Oh God, I wish I could delete you. Cause nothing can compete with you. I replenish in my bed. Excretes, only one of us, only one. Blue and gold, Friday night. Team up with Charlie, take these kids for a ride. Why is my heart pounding, beating out of my chest? Remember to try and forget. I'm locked, she's the key. I'm a boat that's sinking, guess who's the sea? It's hard to shake it off, get back to me. Everything is a memory. And you repeat to the nth degree. And now I'm back in the truck. I'm driving up to a place. We're sitting dead on the ground. There's nothing more to be said. You get to die to the chest at someone else's expense. It doesn't sound like real love. Oh God, I wish you could delete it. Nothing can compete with you. I replenish and repeat, yeah. One I could be for the two of us, two of us, two of us. God, I wish you could release, yeah. Wind it back and never be with you. Then I'd be happy just to meet, yeah. One I could bleed for the future of us. If we were young, but this is done.
Arkin and I were just chatting Commodore and saying how much we love the Commodore venue. Yeah. If you could play at the Commodore,
yeah.
Let's put it this way. What's your like dream set at the Commodore? You know, are you playing like who's opening for you? What's the background of, you know, the stage? Are you playing all your songs? Are you playing any covers?
Okay. If we were to play the Commodore, then honestly, I'd want to rep the boys. Okay. I'd want Luke Beachman to open 100%, or even co-headline, to be honest. This whole journey's been with him. And I'd probably want either Max or Jank on that bill as well. Just like really hometown it up.
Love
on
that.
Might as well, right?
Might as well.
And then in terms of performance, I'm just going to say, if we've made it to the Commodore, then I trust I have enough of a catalog that I could just play all of my own songs.
You got, like, 100 songs.
Yeah. And, like, something, this is for the future, but I'm a theater kid, and so I've been very limited so far by the fact that I have to pretty much play by myself. Mm-hmm. I have a band cooking. They're coming together.
Whoa.
And I, like, in an ideal world, don't want to play as many of my songs and really want to be performing them. Mm-hmm. Like, I do want there to be visuals playing behind me. I want it to be super theatrical, like a very, like, structured show that has highs and lows for people to, like, kind of go along the journey with me.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in making the crowd remember something unforgettable, especially even if that means, like, you know, at the Commodore specifically, you can go into that crowd.
100%.
Security guards are around. It's chill.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, this is specific to the Commodore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd want to start the show on the balcony behind.
Whoa.
So everyone would be looking forward, waiting for me to pop out, and I would start it from way behind, vocal it out, run, like, walk through the crowd, give it an opening that people really sit with. Yeah.
That, and I was just telling Arkin that, you know, I've worked at the Commodore quite a bit, and I've never seen that happen. I've never seen anyone on the back. I've seen people, like you said, go into the crowd,
go in the crowd
and, like, stand on the tables and stuff, but that would be cool.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Hell yeah.
Let me know. I'll be the spotlight.
We'll work it together. I do think that, like, this is a general critique I have of, like, kind of some of the shows that I see here from local artists. I also blame the crowd to a certain extent, but whatever. Sometimes it feels like the artist thinks that just getting on stage is enough.
Yeah.
And it's not. And you really gotta, like, push a lot harder than you think you need to do for these people to remember you. And I have my own gripes with, like, the Vancouver crowd in terms of how they show up. Sometimes you definitely feel like the crowd is very clout based. Like, if they know you and feel familiar, then they'll really loosen up. But it can be done, and you have to, like, take that chance. Maybe you feel stupid, but it's worth taking the chance.
Well, you know, if I've learned anything, is that in order to have a good energy, you just have to get Passion Mango to do the worm.
Oh yeah, straight up, or the worm. Yeah, exactly. Man, Connor was so happy showing me those videos. He was like,
so
Arkin, do you want?
He came on the show. He was like, I did the worm.
he'll do this thing where he'll, like, call me just at the most ridiculous hours. And at first, like, because when we first started meeting up, it was because we were working together.
Okay.
So I thought I was, like, in trouble. I was like, why is a client calling me at, like, 7 in the evening? What's going on? But it turns out he would just be like, do you want to hang out? And do you just want to chill? And we'll just yap on FaceTime for, like, an hour and a half. I'll be like, Connor, I need to go.
That.
He's like, no. He's
watch
awesome.
Me do the one. Watch me
yeah,
do
yeah,
one.
Exactly. He's that dude is, like, very even more secretly talented than people think he is. Like, obviously the music that's out there, shout out to, like, Again and Tell Me What to Do. It's literally on my Spotify right now. Those amazing songs. But yeah, in just, like, super, I'm just gushing about Connor, but
it's
like
cute.
He's just such an
romance.
Intelligent and emotionally intelligent human being. Really, really well put together.
I love that. And something that, you know, he actually said quite a similar statement when he was on the show was a lot of his inspiration behind how he performs came from Max and came from the Spank Williams show, because he loved that he wasn't, like, kind of held behind the guitar.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think it really allows you to, like, interact more with the audience. I think it allows you to, like, just be a lot more free on stage to, like you said, perform instead of just...
The music.
So I'm excited to see.
There are probably about 6 songs that I've, like, consistently played at the shows so far, and there's about another 3 or 4 that are just hidden because without the band, they're just pointless to play. I played one of them at my first show ever because I wasn't even supposed to play it, but I just got scared and I was like, "Fuck it." What's it called? It is, like, in the recording process, it's been hurting me because, like, all my friends around me are producers along with being singer-songwriters.
Yeah.
And so they have, a very editing mindset to where they're making their music. I made a very intentional choice of, like, that's not going to be me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to focus on just the singing and the songwriting, mm-hmm. so that extra thing I do is the live set curation. Okay. So like even when I'm at home practicing the songs, I'm like holding a mic and mm-hmm. dancing and pretending to do all the things, like mm-hmm. measuring the starts and stops. Mm-hmm. All of my songs contain like an audience moment, mm-hmm. which based on the vibe of the room, I will like, mm-hmm. the last one was the Heatley. It was a bar type beat. So mm-hmm. I was like, let's not go too crazy mm-hmm. here. But yeah, it's, you need to be thinking about all of these things so that there's breath to like push and pull. Without the ebb of tension and the release of it, mm-hmm. the audience is not going to feel it. It's storytelling all over mm-hmm. again. Yeah.
And it's definitely, I'm thinking of your show at Grey Lab, mm-hmm. something that I pointed out to, I went with one of my friends, and something I turned and said to her was like, oh, wow, he's like really interacting with us, mm-hmm. which I'm so pro audience interactions, you know, and you were like, oh, like come closer, guys, mm-hmm. or like, you know, halfway through the set, you were like getting people to dance along.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You were dancing along, mm-hmm. and I think that that's so important when it comes to that, you know, breaking through the, oh, I'm just like someone in the background, you right. happen to be in this room with me and I'm playing music, mm-hmm. versus the, oh, actually you've got my attention, mm-hmm. and like I'm like working with yeah. you, and it's a collaboration instead of just me presenting,
yeah.
you know, and I love that. I think
you
that's
can
so
see it in the crowd
to
think
about.
Too. Yeah. Like that show that you guys were there for, I'm not in any position to give advice, but like work to your strengths. Like mm-hmm. there were only like 25 people in yeah. that room.
Yeah.
What's the point of all of you guys being yeah. way back there? Might as
it's
well
true.
We all come
it's
closer
true.
Together. Like at the Heatley, I was expecting like 4 people. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down on that stage. We're going to, you know, huddle up yeah. like it's like story time or whatever. And that's how we're going to play. But instead there were like 30 of you. And yeah. I was like, okay, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So it's I really do want to take those things into consideration. Mm-hmm. Going back to like community a little bit, you know, Connor saying he was inspired by mm-hmm. Max. That's another thing I feel like community is really good for. You need some people to be setting a bar
yeah,
in some capacity definitely. So you can like aspire to or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the third act that played at the Heatley,
mm-hmm.
can't remember what they're called, but they were wearing the sunglasses.
The Swill Merchants, I believe.
Swill Merchants.
Yeah, yeah. I like them.
You
yeah.
know, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, these guys got on stage. They put the sunglasses on. I was like, oh,
yeah.
And then they delivered, you
yeah.
know, and even though, you know, they had the kind of music where people were dancing and like, and luckily they had a couple performances before them, like warming up the mm-hmm. room. But I think it's so fun to see at a bill like that, see so many different people in the same genre and
yeah.
in the same, let's call it like circle mm-hmm. of music, but having such different performances and
yeah.
such different styles and such different, you know, energies. And I just keep going
awesome.
On about how much I love love the community and love the music. Would you – oh, we're running out of time.
Damn.
Okay.
This has been awesome.
This has been really nice. I'm really glad you came on the show. Okay, well, we can say our goodbyes, and then mm-hmm. you can think while you're saying your goodbyes. Think of a last song. Think of a goodbye song. but do you have maybe any upcoming show plans or any upcoming Calcutta Cowboy moments where people can come out and see you? Any fun things you're working on?
Working on an EP. And we just got the demos all recorded, and so we'll be in like a pretty good position. I'm this summer by July, we're expecting at least 2 songs to be out, so look out for that.
Oh my goodness. Can we have any like spoilers for people who have
been
to
the
shows
yeah.
and know?
I think Gary Johnson is definitely going to be
okay.
out right in
okay.
by that time. But I'm undecided on what the other
okay.
single is going to be. And then. There's probably going to be about 4 shows all throughout the summer. We used to do this like Kids Beach series last mm-hmm. year, bringing that back, and I'm repping my own shit. So yeah, there's definitely going to be shows, and there's definitely going to be music coming out.
I'm so excited. Very, yeah. very excited. Okay. Goodbye song.
I'm going to rep another Vancouver, I'm going to rep a Vancouver artist, uh-huh. Loudmouth by Devours.
Oh, it's I got it. Okay. You know, spelling isn't my forte, so I was like, here is Loudmouth by Devours. It has been such a pleasure having
you
here,
Akin. Thank
you very much. Thank you so
much. It's been awesome.
CITR FM 101.9 Vancouver.